Hello and welcome back to St. Paul's. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're so glad that that you've tuned in. Once again, just a reminder, there's kind of a lot of uncertainty going on in our world today, and certainly some people might find themselves in special need. So we'd like you to know that we here at St. Paul's are here for you, and if there's anything that you need, please let us know, whether it's prayers or even physical things, people need to pick up things for you, whatever, let us know. Just so that you can know how to contact us, there are a couple different opportunities. First of all, you can contact the church office, and when you contact that, you can dial any one of the pastors, and we will get that message. That comes to us on email, so even if we're not there, we'll still get it. The other way that you can contact us is through the church website. Take a moment to sign on there, and again, that will be sent to one of our office secretaries, and she'll take care of that. Okay, also, another opportunity you have is to sign into Facebook if you're interested in any of our services, and you can sign on to them there. They're also available through the website as well. And again, for those of you who are continuing to support our ministry financially, we truly appreciate that. That is really important as we're going through this time. A couple different opportunities to do that. First of all, you can just take your envelope and you can mail it here to St. Paul's. Otherwise, there is the online giving that is available through the website, or you can also do the text to give. And all of this information is going to be scrolling across the screen in just a few seconds, so you can jot that down if you need it. And then finally, just wanted to encourage you, if you haven't yet, to tune in to our Journey to the Empty Tomb. Pastor Panitsky is taking us through a series of devotions and Bible readings every day. It's just a wonderful opportunity for us as God's people just to kind of refocus ourselves and be reminded that God is there with us and everything is going to be okay. Again, thank you so much for joining us in worship.
And sings my soul, my Savior. Come enter in with thanksgiving. are a great and a wondrous God, cupping in your hands all the depths of earth. You made the hills and the mountains high. You made the seas and the dry land.
Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout with joy to our saving rock. Come, enter in with our songs of praise. Come, enter in with thanksgiving.
Come, let us worship and bowing low, kneel before the one who has made us all. You are the God whom we call our own. We are the flock that you shepherd.
Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout with joy to our saving rock. Come, enter in with our songs of praise. Come, enter in with thanksgiving.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. Jesus, you are the helper of the weary and the brokenhearted.
We have tasted and seen that you are good.
You stand ready to help in time of need.
We are easily distracted, and all too often we lose sight of what it looks like to live according to your will.
Jesus, teach us your ways, that we may live more in line with your design. We pray in your name. You live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and
forever.
Amen. Turn to the Word of God. Our first lesson for today comes to us from Romans chapter 8. Beautiful and powerful reminder that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and grace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. This is the word of our God. Continue now with the psalm of the day. It is Psalm 42:43. The words will be on the screen. We will sing the psalm together responsively. I will sing the first line of each verse, and you are invited to respond with the second line. And we'll all join together in the refrain, and the glory be to the Father.
Blessed are they who hope in the Lord.
As the deer pants for streams of water,
so my soul pants for you, O God.
My soul thirsts for God, for the living God.
Where can I go and meet with God?
Why are you downcast, O my soul?
Why so disturbed within me?
Put your hope in God.
For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God.
Blessed are they. Your light and your truth, let them guide me.
Let them bring me to the place where you dwell.
Then will I go to the altar of God, my joy and my delight.
I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Glory be to the Father,
and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Blessed are they.
The Holy Gospel for today is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 20, beginning at verse 17. Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 17. Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. On the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You do not know what you are asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the gospel of our Lord. We continue with the singing of the next hymn, hymn 102, "Enslaved by Sin and Bound in Chains."
Thank you.
us the Lord, the mighty God, an all-sufficient ransom paid. O matchless price, His precious blood, for vile rebellious traitors shed.
Let's begin with prayer. Lord Jesus, pour out your Holy Spirit on each one of us. Guide us to understand your truth in troublesome times. Guide my lips that I might proclaim that truth, and open our hearts to hear and believe. Amen. We live in a time of dysfunction. Nothing is supposed to be like it is right now. Society is not supposed to just stop. It's just not supposed to work that way. The dysfunction in our society is probably also going to manifest itself in our personal lives. We're all under stress, worried about our health and the health of those we love, worried if we're going to have enough food if we have a lockdown, worried if the money is going to last if we lose our jobs. And on top of all of that stress, suddenly our families are going to be spending a whole lot more time together. Parents are suddenly having the responsibility to be teachers of their children. And now for some of you that will be marvelous news, but for many families, the dysfunction that is always kind of underneath the surface is certainly going to start to bubble up during this time of stress. So I find it one of these God things that last summer, as we planned out our worship series, the theme that we chose for this weekend is undefeated by dysfunction. And I believe that is certainly true. We are undefeated by dysfunction when we mourn the dysfunction, but also when we celebrate the dysfunction. Now, our lesson for today is from Genesis chapter 37, and it's Jacob's family. And Jacob is certainly the head of a dysfunctional family. Let me read the first few verses of that chapter. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flock with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other brothers, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he had made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream that I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule over us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said to them. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When his father heard this, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him. But his father kept this matter in his mind. Now, this is the only the beginning of the story. The chapter goes on and tells us that Jacob sends out his son Joseph, the youngest son, the son that is his favorite, to go spy on his older brothers. Talk about a recipe for disaster, right? A dysfunctional family. The brothers see him coming and then plan to kill him, but then they have a better idea. They're going to make some money off of him, so they sell Joseph off into slavery, and Genesis chapter 37 ends with Joseph in slavery in Egypt. Think of what he had lost. He had lost his freedom. He lost his family. He had lost his status as a wealthy son, and he had lost his wealth as well. And he had lost all of his dreams that he must have had for the future. Now for me, in that list, probably the last one would have been the hardest for me to handle. Which one's the toughest for you? Because we too have a reason for mourning. Because dysfunction has come into our lives. Don't be surprised that perhaps you and the people around you are in mourning. Think of what we have lost. We have lost much of our freedom of movement, just like Joseph. Many of us have lost our family because we can't interact in person the way we used to. Perhaps you have family in an elder care facility and you can't go to visit them, or perhaps you are one of those people that the rest of your family can't come to visit. That is a huge loss. Don't be surprised that you are in mourning. Many of us have lost our status because you've lost your job. And it's not just the money, it's not just the finances, it's part of who you are very often. Whew. You have reason for mourning. And I think of the seniors in high school, the seniors in college, couples who are planning weddings right in this time, poof. Suddenly all those plans for the future gone. Wow. Brothers and sisters, be patient with yourself. Because the pain of the dysfunction of our society right now is real. and we will all mourn in some way. But there's more to mourn. Because when we are mourning the pain of what we are experiencing, there's going to be dysfunction in our lives. You know, I'm not saying that the COVID-19 is any of our fault, but what is our fault is how we react. In Genesis 37, we see that every member of the family had a part to play in that dysfunction in the family. And as we each mourn in different ways, as dysfunction becomes evident in our own family, whether that be the nuclear family that we're living with, or the extended family, or maybe if you're still blessed to be able to work, the stress where you're at work, and there's going to be all kinds of dysfunction and more reasons to mourn as you realize your part in that dysfunction within your family or circle. You think about the story about Jacob and Joseph and Joseph's brothers. Jacob, his part was that he played favorites. It was obvious to his other children that Joseph was his favorite. Joseph? Well, he's a 17-year-old, and I have a hard time imagining Joseph telling about these dreams without kind of this arrogant smile on his face, you know? You're all going to bow down to me. He gets one dream like that. He tells it to his brothers. He sees that it inflames his brothers. You know, a wise thing would be, oh, I get another dream like that. Maybe God's trying to help me, but I better not share it with my brothers. But no, Joseph shares it. I can't hear his face. I can't hear the tone of his voice. But a 17-year-old youngest brother, I think maybe there was a little bit of jabbing his older brothers there. And of course, his older brothers, their part, angry. They can't even talk to him because they're so angry with him. Dysfunction. So, that kind of thing happens, doesn't it? But where's God in all of this? This is my aha for this week. Can't tell you how many times I've read over Genesis 37, and I never realized that God, or the Lord, you know, Lord in all capital letters, the Savior God, God is never, ever referenced in Genesis 37. Is it any surprise then that there is dysfunction in that circle of family if God is not present? And that certainly was Jacob's fault, wasn't it? Jacob, as the father, was called to be the pastor of his family. He could see the dysfunction happening. But we don't hear any effort to bring God into his family. So, as we see this dysfunction in our society seeping into our families and into our personal relationships and causing dysfunction there, let's just pause and ask, what's my part in the dysfunction that the people around me are having and experiencing? Have I lost my temper with my spouse or my kids or my coworkers? Have I been short with them? dismissive of their ideas? Have I been so preoccupied with my own issues that I fail to sincerely ask, hey, how's it going? My answer to every one of those questions is yes. Guilty as charged. If there's dysfunction going around me, I'm at fault. But don't let your answer stop at sorry. This is where I would encourage every one of us to put on our pastor gown. A year and a half ago, our congregation went through a message series called The Family Church. And there will be a link to that series on our online page so that you can find it easy. You might want to go back and review some of those things. But in the Family Church series, we focused on the fact that every one of us has a call to be the pastor of our family. Now, that's true whether you are a dad or a mom, or simply a friend. Whoever is in your circle, whether it be the nuclear family that you're, you know, staying with, or the wider circle that maybe right now your connections are simply just online and phone call connections, every one of us has the call to be spiritual shepherds, pastors, to the people that we have connections with. And so I would encourage each one of us to put on our pastor gown and not only confess our sins, but also claim God's forgiveness. So first of all, it's the idea of confessing our sins. Maybe you want to read over a section from the hymnal that talks about personal confession. I have it here on the screen. Why don't you read it along with me? Have I loved God with all my heart, gladly heard his word, and patiently endured affliction? Have I been disobedient, proud, or unforgiving? Have I been selfish, lazy, envious, or quarrelsome? Have I lied or deceived, taken something not mine, or given anyone a bad name? Have I abused my body or permitted indecent thoughts to linger in my mind? Have I failed to do what is right and good? As a pastor of your family church, whatever that is, you don't have to be perfect. You won't be. But lead the way in admitting, I have a part in the dysfunction that's going on around us. But then, as pastors of family church, let's lead our families, the people in our area of influence, to put their hands on the Savior. Yesterday and today, I've been reading my daily Bible reading from the end of Numbers. And it's one of those sections that it's just dry as dust, let's just be honest. You know, it's the sacrifices for the daily sacrifices, the weekly sacrifices, the monthly sacrifices, and then the sacrifices for all the festivals of the Old Testament. Pretty dry stuff. But there is one phrase that's repeated in the monthly sacrifices and then for every one of the Old Testament festivals. It's this phrase. One male goat is to be presented to the Lord as a sin offering. And you can go back to Leviticus chapter 4 and read more about the sin offering as God explains to Aaron what he's supposed to do with this sin offering. But the key thing about a sin offering is that when the priest, when the person brought the sin offering in, he would put his hand or her hand on the head of that animal and confess their guilt, their sin, on the head of that animal. And then that animal would be slaughtered because the wages of sin is death. As pastors in our churches, in our families, in our circles of friends, you and I have the privilege not only of leading people in confession, but also leading them to understand who is our sin offering. In our lesson from Romans chapter 8, there is this sentence. Take a look. What the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. Jesus is the sin offering. And so we can lead the way, inviting our family to put their hands on the head of the Savior in faith, not only confessing their sins, but seeing that the Savior suffered and died for our failures, for how the stress has caused dysfunction in our families. And when we do that, when we mourn for our dysfunction in that way and claim God's forgiveness, we are in a position where we can then celebrate, yes, celebrate dysfunction. I mentioned that in Genesis chapter 37, somebody was missing. God was missing in Genesis chapter 37. Jacob's family left him out. But that doesn't mean that God was not present. They just didn't recognize him. They didn't call on him. They didn't bring him into their family, but he was still present. And that becomes clear as the story continues in Genesis chapter 39. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian, who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. See, we can't miss that. Disaster struck Joseph's life. Dysfunction in his family. His life disrupted. But the Lord, and that's Lord in all capital letters, the Savior God, was with Joseph. And as you read the rest of Joseph's story, from Genesis chapter 39 on to the end of Genesis, you'll see that the Lord was working in the midst of this family's dysfunction, not just to save Joseph, but to save Joseph's whole family. Reading about Joseph reminds us that our God is not only the Savior God who forgives us, he is also the sovereign God who is at work in the midst of our dysfunction. That was true in Joseph's time, and it's true as now as well. Now, this is where I thank God that fellow Christians are speaking to me and emailing me, and I see it on social media, these marvelous encouragements to see how God is active. I don't naturally see this stuff. So thank you, my dear friends. But where is the Savior God, the sovereign God, active and bringing blessings even in the disruption that we're experiencing? We have Sabbath time. Time to pause in a way that probably most of us never have in our lives. And I would encourage us to use that Sabbath time, this pause, to do what God's Old Testament people were supposed to do on the Sabbath, not just to rest, but to find refreshment in the word and promises of our God. We have more family time. And that's not just family time for the people who have, you know, kids still in the house. It's true for all of us. Even if you're a single person living in a home by yourself, you probably have more family time. It'll take effort to pick up the phone, to make the connection. But you have more time to invest in the people that you love and care about. We have new ways to be servants. In the gospel lesson, there was dysfunction in the family. This is, by the way, encouraging. You know, Jesus is the head of the family called the apostles, and there was dysfunction in the gospel lesson, right? They were arguing about each other. You know, John and James want to be the first, and the other disciples are angry because they asked first. And Jesus says, you know what? To be the greatest is to be the servant of all. Think of the ways that we can be servants now. I heard about an American who was in Wuhan when the lockdown came, and she couldn't get out of the country. And so she lived through that lockdown, and she mentioned how it was nice just to have somebody call, and they would just leave the line open for an hour or more at a time. You know, and they'd each be going about puttering in their own apartments and then their own homes. But they were together in some way. I don't think I'd ever thought about serving in that way. How about you? See, God is giving us new ways, different ways, to be a servant of all. And then to recognize that God is preparing us for greater service. I think of the Apostle Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where he says that we who have experienced God's comfort then are in a position to comfort others. Many of us are going through things that we never dreamed we would experience. But think of how God is preparing us to serve others in the future, because we have experienced the comfort of knowing that He is with us, the comfort of His forgiveness, the comfort of knowing that He is in control. We've experienced all of these things in a new and more personal way. And we are better prepared to share the comfort that we've always had, but maybe we didn't appreciate it. You see, we can actually celebrate the dysfunction. Not that I'm happy bad things are happening, but that we can see our God is at work in the midst of this dysfunction. One last thing that I'd like to share with you. How long is this going to last? That's a question that everybody is wondering. Will we have Easter services? When will school start again? Will we beat this coronavirus? Great questions. I'd like to answer it by inviting you to look at a picture. This is the picture of a church just a couple of miles from the Normandy beachhead. I can't imagine the fear that the people of that area experienced on June 6th, 1944. And what of the Black Death, the plague, that people who entered this building was built about 200 years before the plague of the 1300s. People who entered this building, imagine the fear that they must have had as a third of Europe died in that plague. And what of the countless unknown terrors between those days and now? But this is the stone above the entrance. To enter the church, you walk under the Lamb who was slain. And remember that as pastors of our family churches, we are leading the way, not only in confessing and admitting our part in our guilt, but placing our hands upon the head of the Lamb and transferring our guilt to Him, the Lamb who was slain for us. And what is He lying on in this picture? The book of the future with its seven seals. Jesus is worthy to break the seals and open the book. He knows the future. He knows how He will use the dysfunction of our society and the dysfunction in our own personal lives to bring about our story to a close in triumph. He already knows how the story ends. It's recorded in Revelation chapter 22. We shall reign with Christ forever and ever. So let me close with the reading of Revelation 5 to encourage us that our God is sovereign and that our God is Savior. May we always invite Him into the dysfunction of our lives, that we might celebrate His work in us and through us in the midst of our dysfunction. Revelation chapter 5. John sees this vision. Then I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of Him who sat on the throne. And when He had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, and please join with me in reading, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God people from every nation, tribe, language, and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God,
and they will reign on the earth. Amen.
And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it is a privilege not only to gather and worship in this online setting, but to remember that we are also gathering in worship with Christians across the centuries. As we join together in the Apostles' Creed, remember that those Christians who walked through the door in the 1200s and 1300s and in June of 1944 and to this day, Christians who walk through that door, Christians all over the world, we are united in this common faith. Let's confess it together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We continue with the prayer of the church. Father in heaven, how powerfully you have reminded us that we are not in control of our lives. Something as small as a virus stops our lives in so many ways. May this time of forced seclusion for many of us also be a time of personal introspection. How have I forgotten your word and will for my life? What gifts from you have I taken for granted? How might you be drawing me closer to you, Lord, through this great disruption of our lives? Father, we find great comfort in knowing that you care for each of us with an unchanging love. We place our health and the health of our loved ones into your hands. If it be your will, protect our lives. If it be your will that we suffer sickness and even death, grant us faith to know that through your Son, we have the certainty of life forever, where no sickness or death can strike. Father, we do believe this, but in this time of testing, increase our faith. Father, watch over and protect our doctors and nurses and all caregivers who are on the front lines of this pandemic. Keep them from harm. Give them wisdom and strength as they deal with the many who may be afflicted by COVID-19. Father, we place our nation into your hands. There is so much fear and uncertainty. Many of us and others will face great financial hardships. Father, provide for our daily bread as you have promised. Open our eyes to see the needs of others, that we might respond in love as you enable us. These and all our prayers we bring to you in Jesus' name, and in his name we pray. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We continue with hymn 110, My Song is Love Unknown.
My Savior's love to me.
God of love, as we continue our Lenten journey, purify our desire to serve you.
Free us from any temptations to judge or to place ourselves above others.
Fill us with your love and grace, that we might be less and less absorbed in ourselves,
and filled more and more with the desire to follow you.
We praise you now
and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless and keep you. Amen. The Lord's face ever shine upon you. Amen. The Lord grant you peace for all your days. Amen.
Once again, thank you so much for joining us in worship today. And we just want you to know that you are certainly in our hearts and in our prayers. And again, a reminder, if there's anything that you need, feel free to contact us either through the church office and the pastor's extensions or through the website. We'd be glad to hear from you and certainly would be glad to help as well. God's richest blessings on your week.